Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glasser talking to you right here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, and Inside Sports Fantasy Football. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Lakerholics.com. And the awesome array of basketball shows today at the Hoopheads Podcast Network at hoopheadspod.com, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers going in knowing that they had to go ahead and be shorthanded themselves, it was nice to know that the Jazz would also come into today's game shorthanded as well. Unfortunately, for Donovan Mitchell, that was because of a sprained ankle, and I hope he gets well soon. But they decided, the Jazz, to go ahead and sit out not only Mitchell, but Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley Jr., and Derek Favors, four of their key components that has led them to the NBA's best record. So they came into LA, and in a very spirited matchup between kind of different styles, where you saw the three-point gunning of the Utah Jazz versus the Lakers. A little bit this, a little bit that, but mainly a lot of inside with Montrezl Harrell and Andre Drummond, and a lot of drives inside from Dennis Schroeder, and also some very good mid shots from him as well, right in the 10 to 15 range. He feasted on that. But here today to talk about the game, I've got everybody involved right here. Everybody that is a great part of this Lakers Fast Break and Lakerholics.com is here today. And we'll start off with the guy who is here first. He is the man behind Five Things. That's Five Things. You got to go ahead and check out his articles today at Lakerholics.com. It is Jamie Sweet. And Jamie, they took advantage of what was given to them. That's all that matters.
Thanks for having me, Gerald. Happy to be here. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was turned out to be kind of a battle of the benches for the most part. We have our two best guys out. They have their four best guys out. So I mean, Favors is maybe like fifth or sixth on their depth chart, depending on the matchups, I suppose. But, you know, without Mitchell and Gobert and Conley, this is not – if anybody's like, well, this is a playoff match, you know, it's not a pretender of anything to come. This was a one-off. Frankly, we needed this game a lot more than the Utah Jazz did. And it was good that we didn't drop the ball today, so to speak, and blow it, because this is a gift horse in terms of where we are in the standings and where they are in the standings. Although it did drop them into a tie in the loss column with Phoenix, I think they're still ahead by a couple percentage points or a fraction or whatever, however that works out. But I still expect the Jazz to be number one in the West, unless Mitchell's out for a long time with an ankle sprain. I mean, we've seen how it depends on the ankle sprain. I didn't read too much about it. I didn't see what
it was. A low ankle sprain. It's not a high ankle sprain.
Nah, so he'll be back in a couple of days. He'll be fine. So, you know, like I said, you know, good that we didn't drop the ball. Could have gone any which way, especially once they hit those threes down the stretch in the fourth quarter. I had a feeling that maybe we wouldn't show up in overtime the way that we were supposed to. But we had a solid overtime showing. Schroeder kind of led the way there down the stretch in the fourth and into the OT. And that was a lot of fun to watch for him, because, you know, he's searching for something in the offseason. He has yet to prove to me that he deserves what he's looking for.
Well, definitely a great showing for him. I also want to go ahead and bring on one of our other guests. We're going to round it off one at a time here by the time you came in. Also here today to talk about today's game, another great performance for the Lakers again in the overtime. Wish they would have made it a lot easier for themselves, but it was a kind of sloppy fourth quarter. But again, in the third quarter, they came back strong. But here today to talk about the game as well is the Magic Man, Sean Grice. And Sean Grice, not only do they need everybody to check out the great stuff that you do for Lakerholics.com, but what's up with this jersey that you're wearing? You're wearing your Charles Barkley rookie jersey and all that. You know, this is the only rookie that you should have right here, young man. Although Charles Barkley as a rookie, he was actually kind of really good. So I'll let you slide on that.
After Moses Malone gave him a good kick in the ass, his career really took off.
I love those highlights of him taking it all the way from coast to coast. I mean, you could really see people laugh at Charles Barkley and the way he is now, and you know, all the wrong predictions he makes, and they don't see that, you know, there are a lot of people that don't know the type of player he was and how good he was. So I'll give you credit on the jersey. I'll say it's a good choice. In fact, like I said, I have his rookie card. So there you go.
One of my favorite highlights from the 90s is him backing down one of the greatest defensive players ever, David Robinson, and shooting a three right in his face to win a playoff game. So he was also clutch. And people can laugh at him today, but everyone on this panel knows what kind of player he was on the court. He's a bad man. As for the Lakers game, Gerald, I'm just glad we got the W, man. We just keep counting those W's with LeBron and AD out. And I got to be honest, man, I finished work at 6 a.m. this morning, and I thought, I'm not going to sleep. The Lakers game is on in the afternoon. I'm going to enjoy my time. And then they got the lead, and I thought, oh, my God, we got a 12-point lead, and LeBron and AD are out. You know what else is foreign to this group? Playing with a lead. We all know runs take place, but with the kind of defensive schemes that Frank has, you would think that, you know, a 12-point lead, they could chalk it up to a 15-point lead. Maybe Jazz cut it in half. It didn't work out that way, man. I almost threw up in my mouth watching the offense in the fourth quarter. And we pulled it out, though. We pulled it out when Jordan Clarkson was spotting up for that three and Dennis was running after him. I went numb because I thought, oh, my God, this is it. But, I mean, we pulled it out with Scrappy. I'm glad we got the W. And, hey, look, the Knicks did us a favor last night. They beat the Mavs. I watched that game. Julius Randle was absolutely insane. And now we're a full game up on the Mavs. I mean, this is what we were talking about the other night. Just keep stacking the W's as you can because everyone's going to win and everyone's going to lose down the stretch.
Well, something like that we were talking about previously all week long about trying to go ahead and distance yourself from as much as you can the Portland Trailblazers and the Dallas Mavericks. And I was really encouraged by the defensive showing in the third quarter by the team, the steals that they were getting. Andre Drummond seemingly time and time again was going for those uncontested dunks, although he kind of made it hard on himself. You could see him laboring after a little while on it, but you know, it was just kind of also concerning to see them fall into those bad mistakes, a lot of turnovers in the fourth quarter. They gave up that big run. And I thought I was going to hear Laker Tom in the back of my head saying Frank Vogel got outcoached again when Quinn Snyder pulled out that 2-3 zone that kind of befuddled the Lakers at first. But leave it up to Schroeder. They could not match up well with Schroeder, just seeming like he had the advantage whenever he wanted. The Lakers had that advantage at the point. And also as well down low where Montrezl Harrell and Andre Drummond just seem to feast. But good performances today throughout. And here today to talk about the game as well is a good man behind Lakerholics.com. You got to check out what he's doing on his articles on Medium.com and Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, the performance in the overtime was outstanding. Third quarter defense was great. Fourth quarter, you know, just mistakes, letting this team back in the game. And I thought I would hear a little Laker Tom telling me, uh-oh, looks like Frank Vogel got outcoached again.
Well, you know, this was like the classic game of the old school versus new school. The Lakers got outshot by 12 three-pointers. That's 36 points. They made it up by 26 points in the paint and 12 free throws. 38 points.
Well, that's something. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, when you have such a distinct advantage inside, because there was no post-up game for Jazz, they're tempting you to go ahead and do two for three.
Two for three?
as far as 2 points for you versus a 3-point attempt for them each and every time, because they're asking you to go inside the analytics game. Basically, that's
I think that that's logically what you do when you don't have an interior defense and you don't have a shot blocker in there. Although one of the big plays was the block on Kuzma, which was a great turning point of the game. And then that crazy with 0.1 seconds left three that they hit to take the lead. This was a game that showed the Lakers' great points and the great Lakers' weak points. In the third quarter, we saw the great defense holding them to 20 points. In the fourth quarter, we saw the inefficient offense falling apart and not knowing how to handle the zone and basically only scoring 16 points. I thought the two big clutch plays were obviously the three that Morris hit to break that 15-0 streak and the layup that Dennis got to tie the game and send it in overtime. In overtime, you know, we took the lead and did it comfortably. But all game long, I was screaming every time we'd get up to 10 points or 12 points that winning for that three-pointer to get us up to 15 to break that game open. And every time something would happen, we'd miss a bunny underneath and they'd come back down and hit a three. But, what was funny about the game is it was a great game.
Yeah.
You talk at the beginning about, God, you're missing LeBron and AD on one side. You're missing Mitchell and Gobert and Conley on the other side. And what do you expect? You expect a G League game. But this was everything but a G League game. It was a well-played game by both teams. Some fortuitous bounces, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, there were at least two or three steals that we had where the ball just bounced the wrong way and ended up in the hands of the Jazz. But credit to both teams for playing a great game. If you were one of the few 2,000 fans that got into Staples, you got your money's worth.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Hearing how many people were going to be out of the game, that would be in the 80s, 88, 83 or something like that. I thought it was really going to be an ugly game, but you know what? As far as just watching it, not knowing that any players were out of the ball game, it looked like it was a really good game to watch. I mean, from all aesthetics, you know, it's the modern game you saw today. It was right there for you. If somebody wants to take a look and understand today's game as opposed to 10, 20 years ago, they need to check out today's game, how it was played, how it was mapped out, how it was coached, and understand that this is going to be the game going forward. And basically, it was, again, like I said earlier, it's a course in analytics. It's a 3-for-2 scenario. You saw so many much more three-pointers put up by the Jazz. They were going to live and die by it. It worked for them in the fourth quarter, but unfortunately for them, it didn't pay off in the overtime because they stopped hitting. They got tired. They looked fatigued. You start seeing a lot of short three-pointers, and the Lakers took advantage from there. But it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers did play, like I said, an excellent overtime, and they win 127-115. But here today to talk about the game as well is a good man indeed. You got to check him out anytime he goes ahead and is here on the Lakers Fast Break or making a great comment or a point on LakerHolics.com. It is L. Rob. And L. Rob, we've got a full house today, my friend. I don't know what's up with that. I think it's the time. You know what? I think the Lakers should play 130 games each and every time so that I could get this kind of attendance. But L. Rob, great to have you here, my friend. Your thoughts on today's game?
Great to be here. It was an exciting game, man. That's NBA basketball. So Utah, 60% of their shots were from three. The Lakers tried to chase them off the three-point line, but they do such a good job of moving that basketball that you cannot outrun the basketball as a defender. And they took advantage of Dre to get the game open with Ilyasova hitting 5 3-pointers to start the game. That just got Utah comfortable. So from there, it had a little bit of everything. You had KCP and Clarkson getting texts. You got guys barking all game. So it was pretty entertaining. But one thing the analytics show that when you shoot cast nothing but threes, you're not getting to the line. You're not getting downhill. You're not attacking. So it's pretty passive a game, type of approach. And the Lakers, like Tom mentioned, they had a huge advantage from the free throw line. They shot the free throws well, and that really helped them secure the win. It's good to see Dennis have a good game and a real clutch game when they needed it. Hopefully that'll kind of give him another boost of confidence and bode well moving forward. But I thought his defense on Clarkson, too, the fourth quarter was pretty good. So Clarkson's crafty in the lane. He can bully you. He's shifty, and he tried to bully Dennis, and Dennis wasn't having it. And
there was that one post up that Dennis just was playing excellent defense. That's probably the best defense I have seen him play since he's been on the Lakers.
Yeah, so it was a fun game. I think it was so much fun. That's why you got a full house today. We were all excited about the game.
Well, Elrod, this was the game they have to have. I mean, this is the game that, there's so many players for Jazz that are sitting out that will not be sitting out on Monday. So there's going to be a situation where you have to win these games. And the Lakers are used to playing right now without LeBron and AD, and the Jazz are not as comfortable with that. And you saw today by putting up 63 pointers for the Jazz, it was just something that, you had to go ahead and make sure that you win with so many players out of the lineup. And the Lakers, fortunately, they were able to come back in the overtime and just, I saw the Jazz looked like they would ran out of gas because they did play a game yesterday. I think it was early game yesterday. So it showed. I want to go ahead and hit you up, Jamie, on this. Jamie, when it comes to this game, how can they sustain this momentum? Because this is obviously something that they were able to go ahead and compete very well, continue that attitude. Andre Drummond, you saw both the good and the bad. What can he do for the team going forward if he gets his mind and his body right?
I posted a little bit about this today on my late Celtics post. It ended up being more of a what does the future hold for the rotations when Davis comes back in a week and a half, 2 weeks or so. I think the number one way we can sustain this is if on Monday Mitchell and Gobert and Connolly and Favors all sit again. That's going to happen because when healthy, without LeBron and AD, if the Jazz have those guys playing, I don't see us winning. I don't think we have the firepower. I don't think we have the talent. I don't think we don't have enough. So those guys play on Monday. I don't know that we can sustain this. Drummond's it's been a weird start to his Laker career. That stepping on getting his toe crunched like it did was a huge, huge step back for him because he wasn't in a rhythm before because he'd been sitting for a month and a half, 2 months. And now he's in the lineup. He's out of the lineup. His toes hurt. It's a hard way to come into a playoff situation where a team has playoff title expectations. So he's got a rough hill to climb. Not having Gobert in there, I thought, opened up the game for him a lot. I don't think that he could have dominated like he did. Although, I will say this. One of the things that is a joy to watch Andre Drummond do is defend the passing lanes. Andre Drummond is an excellent big man in the passing lanes. In the same way that Marc Gasol is an excellent player from the high post, Drummond is excellent at just anticipating passing lanes, getting his hands up, knocking a pass down. I mean, he led a break all by himself at one point.
Three times.
I mean, he's got great hands. So that is – I missed most of the first half of the game. It was beach day. So I might have missed one of those.
Oh, no, this was all in the third quarter.
Oh, really? Then
he took over in that first part of the third quarter.
He had a dominant third times. Quarter.
Yeah, his ability to steal is intriguing as far as how's it concerned. How he's got such quick hands, like Tom had said before.
Yeah, his hands are lightning fast, and he's excellent in the paint. But, I see a bad fit for him when AD comes back, and I see an even worse fit for him when LeBron comes back because – Those guys want to get into the paint, especially LeBron. His whole game is based on getting into the paint. And if Drummond's in there, they're just going to pack the paint. And it's not like some genius, like, you know, idea. That's what teams will do, especially in a 7-game series. There's no reason that they wouldn't. There's, you know, we don't shoot threes great. So that's the formula. It's not magic. It's not secret. It's just common sense basketball on the defensive end. You know, I wish, like so many times in my life, that I could combine like two or three players on the Lakers into one player. Like, I wish I could combine Drummond and Gasol into one player, or Wes Matthews and Ben McLemore into one player, so that like we get the defense from the one guy, but the offense from the other guy. But, you know, that doesn't work. And we can't, like, it's not like hockey where you can just be like, all right, you're in, all right, you're in, like as they're running down the floor, right? Like, it's, you can't substitute like that. So you kind of have to.
How about LeBron and AD into one player? LeBron and AD into one player.
No, they're both good enough on their own. I mean role players, so that you get like kind of another star out of two role players. You know what I mean? Like, we got plenty of role players who do one thing great, but what we lack are dynamic players. Schroeder was supposed to be that. I think he's a lot more dynamic on defense and offense. What I would like to see from Drummond is just stick with it on D. You know, whether the offense is there or not, that when he missed those two layups, one of which should have been a dunk under the basket late in the fourth, I was like, why are you like hooking the shot in? Like, you're the biggest man on the floor by like 4 inches. Like, jump, keep the ball high, come down, set your feet, jump up and dunk it. Like, and if they foul you, they foul you. Like, we'll live with that. But, you know, don't let your offense dictate your defensive effort. And if he does that, he's going to find his role, I think, on this team reduced over time. There's still a world where I see Marc Gasol starting when AD and LeBron get back, just because of the spacing issue. I can see Magic Man shaking his head, but you lose back-to-back playoff series with Drummond in there, and you know who's going to make a change? And that's Frank Vogel. He won't make a change during the regular season. I can see this rolling exactly how it is right now. You know, Gasol as a breaking case of glass player, Drummond getting the slot starting spot. But if we lose a game or two in a series, and it's looking like this formula isn't working with Drummond in there on offense, and he's not making a huge impact on defense, I don't see why they wouldn't make a change. I mean, it took hardly any time at all this is one of Vogel's strengths, right? I mean, during the regular season, I know it's infuriating for Laker Tom, because Laker Tom likes to switch things up. Like, you know, he's playing Jenga, you know, like this.
The matchup game, man.
But Frank doesn't work like that. Frank stays the course all season long. And then in the playoffs, when it truly matters, he's adaptable. Which, you know, it is what it is. That's the
great formula.
We could wish for a different coach, but that's what we got.
Well, that's what we got right now. Dr. Frankenstein already trying to go ahead and mix and combine all these players into one. There you go.
I'm talking about genetics. I'm not talking about lineups.
Exactly. Magic Man, I know you had an issue with what Jamie was saying, shaking your head. I could understand what Jamie's saying in regards to Andre Drummond, because of the fact he could clog up the middle, and that could, you know, obviously hinder LeBron's game quite a bit. And with AD, you know, is he going to be with Andre Drummond exclusively on the outside? That doesn't bode well for the AD as far as it's concerned, because AD is only a average shooter at best. So I want to hear your thoughts on this. So you were shaking your head. Why, or do you disagree with what Jamie Sweet was saying?
Have you seen the movie Pulp Fiction? Okay. So I won't go Ezekiel 25:17 on here with Andre Drummond. However, he is nicknamed the Big Penguin for a reason. If you see him play in the paint, he plays with a large wingspan, and it's like Batman almost, like with his wingspan, the way he's able to, he can pretty much move you out of paint with just his arms. He doesn't really need to use his body all that much. So I think that works well with AD, especially defensively, because with Anthony's ability to recover, I don't think we're going to have problems popping up because of paint protection. I do agree with you. It could become a hindrance offensively, depending on the spacing. So I almost see AD, LeBron asking AD just to be Tristan Thompson. Grab the rebounds, get the putbacks, and I'll look for you as the role man. I think it's that butter and toast simplicity that's going to work for them.
Well, L. Rob, I want to ask you this, and this goes into, as we close out the show here in just a few minutes, Laker Tom, don't worry, I'm going to give you plenty of time to go ahead and close out the show in regards to what you're writing about at LakerHollies.com. But L. Rob, I wanted to go ahead and touch on something that we haven't spoken about, who did very well, who I'm hoping will be okay. Maybe like a calf strain or something that he suffered in the overtime, but Kentavious Caldwell-Pope finished with 25, had a very strong game. These are the games that Laker Tom has always said that he needs to have more often. He needs to be more aggressive. And this is I don't know if it's because they didn't see any more options or because Kuzma was invisible for almost the entire game. But I want to ask you this, L. Rob. I mean, how come we can't get this KCP more often?
He's an enigma. That's the story of his career. And I mean, watched him here in Detroit. It's the same thing. He'd go for 30 points one game, and then the next game, he may have 6 or 8 points, and he's up and down. He caught a good groove, though, in the playoffs last year. And I think it's something about tasting that championship taste that when the playoffs roll around, you are going to get KCP and LeBron, and those guys will be in his ear telling him to be aggressive. So, yeah, I like where KCP's head is right now. I mean, you know he's always going to play hard on defense. He's always going to give 100% effort on defense. So, I mean, that's what the Lakers hang their hat on. And probably getting back to Drummond, that's why Drummond's going to be in the game. Vogel appreciates defense, and he'll give the Lakers much better defensive presence. Yeah, I mean, we're in a pretty good position. If LeBron and AD comes back healthy, we got a lot of pieces. It would give Vogel a lot of flexibility. But KCP, I'm not worried about him. I like where he's at now. He's turned the corner. He's playing very well, shooting, close to 45% in this recent stretch from three. Was aggressive today. He's not just shooting the threes, though. He's pump faking. He's getting into the lane. So he's diversifying his game, and that's what the Lakers need. And, as far as Kuz go, I know y'all mentioned he was kind of invisible, but he was actually moving the ball very well in the first quarter. And he did his job. I mean, he wasn't looking to shoot much, which is okay. But the Lakers were scoring. Scoring wasn't a problem, so I have no problem. He was a ball mover. And he made some good passes, some good hockey assists, and he did his thing. So,
yeah. Second half, though, I thought he should have been more aggressive. I understand he got a shot blocked late in the game by Ilyasova, and that I know he is, you know, Twitter's not going to let him live down anytime soon. But I would have liked to seen him a little bit more aggressive. But you're right, 13-6, not too bad. 13-6-6, not too bad. Yeah. Yeah. Just a little underwhelming. I mean, Kuzma, if he wants to go ahead and talk that game, he needs to take advantage of games like these and step it up and be that guy that's going to score you 25-30. Otherwise, you are a complimentary player, yeah, which we see him as, but he doesn't always see himself as. So that's
one of the most ridiculous comments I've heard from someone saying that Drummond hasn't had coaching.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, you know, that I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And, you know, that was crazy. I mean, he's had some good coaches. He's had some decent coaches. Now, you can say he hasn't played any, you know, pressure-packed playoff games. That's a different story.
They had one series in Detroit where it was him and Blake Griffin's first year. I think that's been it so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Once LeBron and those guys, I mean, Drummond has a tendency to, I mean, you see he like Jamie said, he's great in the passing lane. I remember when you guys first asked me, I was like, Drummond is good. He's got quick hands. He's good at, you know, he's good at stealing the ball and he's powerful on the boards, but he doesn't go up strong. He does a lot of flip shots. He does a lot of trying to dribble into the paint, you know, moves. And once LeBron and those guys come, I think LeBron will cut all that out and just tell him, look, I'm going to get into the lane. I'm going to lob it to you. I'll get it to you when you're open. You don't have to be a creator, but you got to be accountable on defense. You cannot just decide I'm going to switch and check this guy like he tried to do a couple of times in the fourth quarter. And they move the ball a couple of times, swing, swing, and somebody's wide open. Why? Because Drummond's gambling, deciding to switch out on a guard out of nowhere. Can't have that. That's not championship ball, but I'm sure the troops will get him in line as far as that goes.
Well, I'm hoping that that's the case. Maybe you should spend a little less time on the hair. Jamie, go ahead.
I mean, it's a thing, dude. It's a thing.
But it is a thing. Okay.
It's like, it's like short shorts in the 80s.
If he likes the blonde hair, just, you know, if he If he wants to stand out, just let the game stand out as well. That's just focus on that game. Focus on that game.
Yeah, no. They got to be fashionistas, singer experts, video game experts. Yeah, everybody's got multiple irons in the fire, man.
We all got to diversify. You're right.
That's all. We all got our endeavors.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers in overtime, they pulled out the win 127-115 with a strong overtime showing. Remember, for all the stuff that you need in regards to Lakerholics, you got to go ahead and check out first the Facebook group that we have, Lakerholics, where we have a lot of great conversations. Plus, you can also see a lot of stuff that we do there. But Lakerholics.com, for the best in Lakers conversation, go ahead and check out Lakerholics.com. It's always spirited. It's always fun. It's not really as violent as it was on the Hoops Collective. Actually, if you checked out that podcast recently on the MVP race, and that was just very vicious, I guess, going back and forth from what I heard. Actually, make Laker Tom and I look like almost like a tea party in comparison. But Laker Tom, although we could get an argument, Laker Tom, you, me, and Jamie could really get into a, you know.
Tea party is a loaded phrase there, Gerald.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe like a garden party. How about that? Something a little nice, something a little just very calm, you know, comparatively where they were just, you know, shouting expletives and things of that nature at each other. That got nasty on that show. But Laker Tom, I want to go ahead and leave it off with you. You've got a great article coming up, I know, in the future at Lakerholics.com. But what are you going to be writing over the next few days? What are you going to be writing about over the next couple of days at Lakerholics.com?
Well, before I tell you that, I'd like to put in my 2 cents worth for the most recent comments by everybody on the podcast here. You know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes I'm just naturally the other opinion on almost everything. If everybody says it's green outside, or the sky is green, I'm likely to say it's red. But I find myself being in a position of wanting to at least congratulate some of the players who I thought really played well today and showed why they should be kept on the Lakers and why they do fit. And most importantly, why they may even fit better when LeBron and AD are back. So I'll start with the number one person being kicked around, which is Andre Drummond. There's a couple of things that you see about Drummond that you have to love. First off, I thought Kuzma was right in his comments about Drummond never playing in a winning situation.
That's not what he said.
The outcome of the game in the season were more important than his personal stats.
L. Rob, I think, is clarifying that, Laker Tom. Then we'll let you go ahead. Go ahead, L. Rob.
He didn't say he never played in a winning situation. He said he has never had a good coach.
Well, he never said he used the phrase winning coach. So let's leave aside. Forget the semantics. Let me make my point.
Okay.
My point being that you're looking at a guy who has said all of the right things. He said, whatever the team wants me to do, that's what I want to do now. I want to prove that I can play on a championship team and I can contribute to a championship team. And whatever Coach Vogel and the team wants me to do, I will do. If they want me to pass out of the post every time when there's an open man, he'll do that. And he showed tonight some excellent passing out of the post. If they don't want me to take one-on-one post moves, then I won't take them. And once LeBron and AD get back, he won't be taking those one-on-one post moves. He's a great rebounder. He has showed great quickness and hands. I happen to agree personally with Jamie's take that he's not a good fit because he's a low post player and we need the post to be open. And I agree that Gasol at some point in time may take over that starting position and we may see Andre fall into the same trap that JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard fell into. Then there's also poor Dennis Schroeder. I'm probably the biggest Dennis Schroeder critic on the blog. And my complaints about Dennis have been his three-point shooting and his turnover assist to turnover ratio. Tonight, 8 assists, 2 turnovers, some clutch baskets. He hit from outside. He hit from inside. He played a great game at both ends of the court. This is the kind of game that will show he's worth $20 million. It may be for the Knicks instead of the Lakers, but great game by Dennis, and he deserves a lot of credit. Kyle Kuzma played great defense in the first half, moved the ball, made a couple of blocks, was an instrumental in just having the team play really well to stay in the game. The one thing that we see in this Laker team is if they come out and play a good start of the game and they aren't running uphill for the entire game by being 10 or 12 points behind, they are usually in a good position to win the game. And they did that tonight against a team that was very hot. And then lastly, Andre Drummond's defense on Ilyasova. Those shots that he hit were not going to be blocked by anybody. They were fallback shots from a 6 or 8 guy with a shot back in the back of his head, and they all swished. Nobody could have stopped those shots. I thought he did a great job on the outside. He's quick on his feet, and he can move his feet. So all of those things come down to what am I working on at Lakerholics.com? I'm working on the fact that I think that everybody, including the announcers of today's game, are disrespecting the fact that they have forgotten all about what LeBron James and Anthony Davis can do. I mean, you want to equivalate being missing Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and Mike Conley being equivalent to missing LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Last year, probably the number 1 and 2 players in the entire league. Give me a break. That's stupid. And you see the way that the Lakers are playing. They won this game. They came back. Win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. But they're in the game. They're fighting hard. They're coming back. The players are starting to show some confidence without LeBron and AD. And all of that says to me, NBA championship coming for the Lakers.
The only thing that gets me when I hear that from Laker Tom is try Laker Tom on Monday. We'll see if this conversation changes because it seems to change week by week with Laker Tom, but that's okay. I like it. It's spirited. It's fun. You know, hopefully we're not going ahead and verbally getting after each other the way they did on the Hoops Collective, but you know what? Magic Man, Jamie Sweet, L Rob, Laker Tom, it's been so great having you here. Guys, I'm going to give you the last chance to go ahead and talk about, you know, leave any thoughts on what you're doing or what you would like to see from the Lakers basically for the next week. What are we going to see from the Lakers the next week? Just some last comments or what you're doing at Lakerholics.com. Sean, with the sinking phone, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. The phone does not want to stay upright. But Sean, go ahead and let us know what you're doing at Lakerholics.com or what you see from the Lakers over the course of the next few days.
We're dealing with what we can at this point. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this week, actually, because I expect Anthony Davis to be back by the weekend. So that's exciting. Throughout the week, I expect us to be competitive. I mean, one thing I've liked in the past 10 games is this team is fighting. That they're actually fighting. I mean, offensively, it comes and goes. Most of them are out there just chomping at the bit, just trying to fight their way back into the game, and that's all you can ask as a Lakers fan. So I expect that on Monday. But also what Jamie says is true, too. We don't know the true injury status of those four guys. I don't expect Donovan Mitchell to play. And if Mitchell's not playing, I don't expect either Gobert and or Favors to play as well. I'd expect at least one of them to sit. So I expect a spirited affair on Monday. I don't think it'll be the same game it was tonight. I think we may see that low-scoring game again on Monday with Quinn Snyder and Frank Vogel making adjustments. I mean, they're both friends, too. I mean, for those who don't know, those two guys, they they've coached together in past lives, and it's a competitive juice as a coach when you go up against a friend just to try and knock them around a little bit. So I expect adjustments to be made on both ends.
To go off the back of what L. Rob said, Dwayne Casey was the coach that Andre Drummond played under before. And Jamie quality Sweet coach. Actually called us as well in the comments.
Coach.
He's a quality coach. He's not the best, yeah. But he had some great seasons in Toronto and one good season in Detroit. So I don't know if you can actually say that as an excuse. And
I was just going to say, Gerald, Dwayne Casey was railroaded in Minnesota. And I mean, I'm not going to get into what happened there, but you know, he just got railroaded there. They didn't give him enough time. They gave him the time in Toronto. He got them to the playoffs. He gave them, they gave him the time in Detroit. You know, he had moderate success. You know, he's a quality coach. So I take umbrage with what Kuzma said. If it was based on the coaching, like Rob said.
You know, L. Rob, Dwayne Casey to me, again, is a quality coach. But you're right as far as what your thoughts are today. And I know it's almost got spirited. You for once brought the ire out of Laker Tom, not me. That's a good thing. So, L. Rob, yeah. I want to hear what you're looking forward to with the Lakers and what you expect in the next few days. I know AD is hopefully. I'm saying Wednesday. I'm thinking Wednesday for AD as far as return. But what are you looking for from the Lakers for the next few days?
Just consistency in the Utah game. We're playing with house money. We, you know, just to beat them once, even though that guys wasn't playing. When we looked at the schedule and seeing Utah was back to back, and we didn't have AD or LeBron, splitting with them was a dream. So we got one. So just go out there and compete the next game. But against Dallas, that's where we gotta. Regardless of who suits up, we have enough talent to beat them.
All I'm asking for is a split.
Just a split.
That's not enough.
Build on it. Let everybody...
It was enough for you a few days ago, Laker Tom.
Not enough after we got this win.
Let me. I do have to address this though. So Drummond's coach initially was Van Gundy. Van Gundy did not do a good job, in my opinion.
Which one?
Stan.
When he was coaching Tom,
and he pretty much let Andre do whatever he wanted to do, and he created all kind of bad habits. Dwayne Casey came in. Dwayne Casey would bench Drummond. I mean, he did not go easy on him. It was some games where, just like Vogel did when in the fourth quarter, when it wasn't a good matchup, or when Drummond get, you know, goofy dribbling the ball, trying to do too much, he'd bench him. So Casey's a solid coach. I mean, I have no problems with him. If you give him the right talent, if you would have brought Kawhi and those guys to Toronto, Casey would have won a ring just like Nick Nurse. So he's a good coach. So, yeah. But Kuzma, why? Why even say that, though? I mean, it's unnecessary.
I think it's different from when, let's say, Mark Jackson, who took the team, I think, as far as he could max it, and they brought in someone else that took essentially that team to another level. I think when it comes to Dwayne Casey, I think you're right, where he didn't have the chance to coach Kawhi. So you don't know if he could have taken the team to that same kind of levels as Nick Nurse. So I know Nick Nurse gets praised for being the greatest coach under the sun since he's been doing it. But again, yeah, we don't know how well Dwayne Casey would have done had he had Kawhi.
And if you praise Nick Nurse, then you got to praise Casey. He's the one that brought Nick, that was Nick Nurse's boss. Right? He's the one that learned under Casey. So how could Nick Nurse be a great coach and Casey not a good coach?
Now Mark Jackson is kind of a different story. He took the team to a 50-win season, but I think that under his leadership, that's where they maxed out. Yeah, there's also a reason why he's not coached in the league since then.
But he's the one that unleashed Draymond Green and kind of set that team up to start playing like that. Yeah. So, I mean, he gets credit. He has to have his share credit for their winning too. And the players do give him some credit for what he's done.
The players determine how good the coaches are.
Well, hold on. He's also the guy who also said at the tip of the Lakers game six last year in the bubble, he was really getting on the case of Frank Vogel for starting Alex Caruso. And we all know how that went. So,
one game situation.
That's okay.
Well, that sticks with me. This is the same guy who basically tried to get Mike Malone fired because Mike Malone was originally working with Draymond Green. It wasn't Mark Jackson. It was actually Mike Malone.
Almost that's both of them right there in the coaching
yeah,
staff.
Yeah. And now to see Mike Malone make it further than Mark Jackson as a coach. I mean, he got within a hair of the Western Conference Finals. Well,
I think Mark Jackson has deserved another coaching spot in the league, especially because if you see Luke Walton from that run as an assistant coach where the team basically guided him instead of him guiding them to that record, you know, what was that, 23-2 or something like that. And that's how he got the Lakers job. And that's basically how he got the Sacramento job after he keeps getting job after job. Mark Jackson, I think, should be given a chance to. You're shaking your head, Laker Tom.
I think what's odd about all of these things is that you can take the greatest coach and put him on the worst team and they aren't going to do much. You can take the worst coach and put him on the greatest teams sometimes and he's going to do well. And then there's also the thing about fit between the players and the team and the coach, you know. Mark Jackson's problem wasn't that he couldn't coach. It's that he couldn't keep his religious beliefs outside of the locker room. And there's all of these other issues that come with different coaches in different situations. Getting back to the comments, because I don't want Elrod to think that I'm disrespecting him. I think Kuzma's comments, just like all of these guys out there, you know, you put them in front of a press crew, they ask them questions. And instead of answering the questions, they have their spiels put together and they let loose with a spiel. And I think all he was really trying to say, and I think this is true of Andre Drummond, that regardless of who was coaching Drummond in those early days, he was a certain type of player. He was like Dwight Howard. I'm a big guy. Give me the ball on the post. I want to eat. And that really led to a lot of bad habits, just like Lee was saying. He developed bad habits. The problem that he has really is he's not good in traffic. You know, if you've got a lot of hands and people grabbing at the ball and so forth, that's not Andre's game. Now, with the Lakers, when you got LeBron James and Anthony Davis out there, all of a sudden there ain't going to be a crowd of people around Andre Drummond. We may see a different kind of Drummond. And if he's willing to sacrifice whatever parts of the game we think or Vogel thinks are inefficient, and only focus on the parts of his game that are efficient, he might surprise us.
Hi, this is Mr. Holiday from the podcast My Worst Holiday, and you're listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is another great performance, though. The Lakers did have to go ahead and feel the matchups out, but it worked out in the long run with Dennis Schroeder going right there as far as a lot of mid-range shots, feasting on that. Andre Drummond, Montrezl Harrell providing some inside game, and the Lakers got enough outside shooting from KCP, and the Lakers blew them out in overtime, 127-115. Guys, it's been a great show. Jamie, I know you've got five things coming up.
I know we only beat Denver and we only beat Miami, and Alex Caruso only played in one game. But in my mind, it's
started one game
NBA championship. So I don't know what more we can do.
There is no asterisk. It is one of the best.
No, if anything, we can this repeat. Was harder than the rest. Asterisks.
I will have to go on record for the umpteenth time that the Lakers. That was probably their best championship ever under those circumstances, the mental circumstances that they rose to the game better than anyone else. And sorry, anybody else who says, "Oh, well, this player's injured," or "that player's injured." This team, you know what? There were teams that choked, and then there was one team that didn't, and that was Los Angeles Lakers, and threw at the Lakers a different scenario than has ever been made out before, and you know what? They persevered and deserve all the credit that they get. They don't deserve an asterisk. They don't deserve anything but a championship banner, which hopefully they will put up one day, indeed. But guys, it's been a great episode. Make sure you catch Laker Tom's articles, Magic Man's articles, because he's got a lot of stuff going on there, including his stuff possibly on Charles Barkley. We'll wait and see, because you know he's got that jersey. He's rocking that Barkley rookie jersey, like I'm rocking his basketball card. So Magic Man, we got to go. Hurry up, but let's go, man. Go ahead. Final thoughts.
Breaking news. I've got a new column coming out. It's titled Put a Little Mustard on It. And if you need to know the inspiration behind that.
Well, put it in the refrigerator then. So there you go. And the eggs are cooling and the butter's getting hard. But Jamie.
Leave the bunny in the pea patch.
Yes, leave the bunny in the pea patch. There you go. But L. Rob, it's been so great to have you here, my friend. Hopefully you'll be coming back very soon as well. Maybe Monday, maybe Wednesday. Look for him to come as far as the Lakers Fast Break. Plus also check out his comments at LakerHolics.com. Sean, obviously, with his great articles there. Jamie Sweet with Five Things. And, of course, Laker Tom, the man himself at Medium.com and LakerHolics.com. Plus, if you have any questions for us, at Lakers Fast Break, at Laker Tom. And, of course, LakerHolics.com. Well, guys, it's been a great episode. Cannot thank you enough for joining me. It's a full house. One of the few times we ever have a full house. I feel so blessed and feel so lucky. And, of course, it comes on the Lakers win. Where are some of these guys when we lose? They seem to magically not be here. Wonder how that works out. But I'll tell you what, it was a great victory, 127-115. Catch our show each and every time out. Wherever you get your podcasts. I've also had not one, but two great shows with Stone Hansen and Rafael Barlow on the NBA draft. So check those out as well. And of course, we're always part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network at hoopheadspod.com. Well, thank you so much for being part of today's show. Once again, the Lakers 127-115 in overtime. We will be back Monday night. Hopefully it'll be the same thing as well. Lakers 2 in a row over the Jazz. We'll find out Monday night, and we'll be here after the game right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.